You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
To Acts chapter 10. This will actually be part two of Humble Authority. We started it last week. We only made 2 points, so we've got 3 points this morning. If you need a Bible, the ushers will put one in your hand. The 3 points are objective, obedient. Oh, hang on. Can you turn this up? Just I'm screaming up here. I'm like pushing real hard. Okay, so anyways, we got 3 points. Before we get started, I want you to hang something on your belt, please. I ask you to do that all the time. First of all, hang this on your belt. Why and why not? As we go through this, I want you to ask yourself why and why not. And you're going to see what I mean. I'm not going to give it away to you right now, but prayerfully, by the time we get to towards the end of this message, you're going to have asked the same questions I did, and we'll visit this a couple of times. Now, to get us up to speed, let me pray again. Father God, Lord, just as Miriam said, we cannot do this, anything, without you. And so, Lord, this morning we come asking you, Holy Spirit, to be with us. Speak to each one of us. Speak through me. Lord, just grace us with your presence, because that's our desire. That's why we've gathered together, is to come into your presence and partake of your word, to hear from you, and then to walk in obedience. And so, Lord, we love you, we praise you, and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, to get us up to speed, Peter has been staying at Simon the Tanner's house, which I explained to you before that a tanner was really, really looked down upon because they dealt with dead animals. They were considered unclean. It was unclean to touch a dead animal. In fact, I told you that women in that era could not divorce. They could not file for divorce. The only way that a woman could file for divorce is if her husband decided to become a tanner, then they would allow her to divorce. That's how bad it was considered to be a tanner. And so here the fact that Peter is desperate, the fact that Peter is going to a tanner's house speaks volumes. And it's also God is doing something in his heart, changing his heart. Now, we also saw that a message came to Cornelius. Cornelius was a centurion of an Italian band. And he was a man of good reputation. He was a man who gave to the poor, so he had a benevolent heart. He was a man of prayer. He was a man who feared the God of the Israelites. Even though he came from the Roman background that had a pantheon of gods, he put his faith and his trust in the fear of the God of Israel. He was a man who encouraged his whole household to put their trust and fear in God. But with all of that being said, he was not saved. He did not know Jesus. He was religious. He was religious. And so today I want you to examine your hearts as we get through this message. It is so easy to be a person of prayer, to be a person who's benevolent, who gives to the poor. You could be a person who goes to church. You can do all those things and still not have a relationship, still not have been born again, have a changed life through Jesus Christ. And that would be the saddest thing, to know that you're coming to church and walking out not knowing Jesus would be a heartbreaking thing. And so God sends Cornelius a messenger. And I'm thankful for that. Why? Because here with Cornelius, we have a seeking sinner, and thank God that we have a seeking Savior. Because the seeking Savior will seek those who are seeking Him. Now, unbeknownst to Cornelius, he doesn't realize that Jehovah God came in the flesh in the form of Jesus Christ. He just is believing in the God of the Jews. Now, reminds me of myself. You know, I didn't know God. All I knew is I needed something. I was looking for something other than the direction I was going. And since I was humble and broken, I wasn't humbled, but I was broken. So therefore, I was in humility at that point because all I could do was look up. And so maybe today, maybe in your situation, you need to humble yourself and seek God, because I promise you, if you're doing that, He will seek after you. And that is so important. So this messenger from God, this angel, comes and tells Cornelius to send men to Joppa, it's about 30 miles away, to a house of Simon the Tanner. Tells him whose house, tells him what city, tells him whose house, and tells him that Peter will be there, that there will be a man named Peter whose surname is Simon. So he also tells him this. He says, Cornelius, when you find this Peter, he's going to tell you what to do. And I love the fact that Cornelius, being a Roman soldier, would think, hold on. You want me to send some people to a tanner? Now, I understand the Jews. I understand that a tanner is looked down upon. You want to send some guys to go get a guy from the tanner's house, and he's going to tell me what to do? Yeah? And, oh my gosh, do I love Cornelius' response when Peter comes on the scene. But Cornelius, the reason why God wants him to get saved is look at how humble he is. He's humble enough to say, yes, Lord, whatever you say. Listen, understand this, folks. If you're too big to do the little things, then you're too little for God to trust you with big things. It is important that you and I become small in our eyes and realize that God is big, because the more you do that, the more God will trust you with greater and greater things. Now, we also looked at the fact that Cornelius is a centurion. And last week we talked how it seems in the New Testament that centurions are always shown in a favorable light. We looked at Cornelius being one. We looked at the centurion at the crucifixion of Christ, and of course we looked at the centurion who wanted his servant healed over in Matthew 27, and he said to Jesus, he says, I see that you are a man like me under authority. He doesn't say a man with authority, although Jesus had authority, and although, you know, the centurions have authority. But he says, listen, you're a man like me. You're under authority. There's a humility to recognizing that you are under authority, not walking around saying, look at me, you know, I'm in authority, I'm all that, and a bag of chips. Not good. And so we also recognize this. We're Christians, right? You're a Christian, I'm a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, I pray today is the day that you surrender your heart to Jesus. But we understand we're Christians. Well, Christian means Christ-like. The Lord Jesus had all authority, and yet he was under authority. He humbled himself. A great verse that illustrates this beautifully is Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. You don't have to turn there, but you can jot it down. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8 says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So he already tells us, you need to have the same mind as Jesus. You and I both do. He says this, verse 6, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. So Jesus said, listen, I have all authority, but I'm going to be under authority, and I'm going to humble myself, and you and I need to be the same way. We need to humble ourselves. Listen, being humble is a good thing. It's a great thing. In fact, I love this quote. A worm is a little thing that cannot be stumbled. A worm can't be stumbled. You want to not stumble in your Christian walk? Then make yourself lowly. The lower you make yourself, the less apt you are to stumble. Why? Because when I make myself lowly before God, then I realize I need to obey Him because He is Lord. So important. So let's look at the objective in verse 14 through 23. Verse 14. Now remember, Peter's having a conversation with God. This is where we left off. "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied, which is a wrong statement, and we looked at that in great detail last week. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." Now remember, something large, it said like looking kind of like a sheet or a blanket with all kinds of animals in it. Definitely one thing that we know that was there, it was both clean and unclean, but one thing we know that was on that sheet or that blanket or that thing that looked like it was pork. That was a huge one for the Jews. Because the Gentiles, well, you know, hey, we love our bacon, right? So basically there was pork there, and Peter's saying, hey, I've never, ever had pork. It's unclean. And now you have a pig in a blanket and you want me to eat? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Now, you know, I think about this thing that came down. First of all, for it to have all kinds of creepy things and all these kind of animals that comes down, it had to be huge. It had to be huge. But on top of that, like maybe, you know, movie screen, a drive-in theater screen or IMAX screen or maybe bigger, I don't know. But how weird, because he says kill and eat, so they must have been tangible, not just like he was looking at a giant movie screen. It must have been like a giant spider web that they're attached to or Velcroed on there. I don't know. But they're there. And he's like, I'm not going to eat that. I don't eat pigs in the blanket. I've never had them. I'm never going to. But, of course, Peter should never say, no, Lord. Neither should you or I say no to the Lord. Verse 15. And a voice spoke to him again a second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done how many times? Three times. And the object was taken up into heaven again. So, three times it was done. Notice, by the way, notice what isn't recorded for us. That Peter got up, killed something, and ate it. He didn't do it. It's not recorded for us. So even though three times God told him, kill and eat, Peter goes, no Lord, no Lord, no Lord. Now here's the thing. Peter is saved. We know he's saved. Day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon him. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. So much so that he gives messages and thousands of people get saved. So he's being used by God greatly. At the same time, guess what? Peter is still Peter. Just like Randy is still Randy. And you are still you. We still have the tendency. We still have a bent towards sin. We still have a bent to say, no, Lord, not so, Lord. Not today, God. Not on my watch. I have other things to do. Notice, though, this was done how many times? How many times? Three times. Remember when Jesus was in the garden and Peter and the guy and the gang fell asleep? How many times? Three. Remember Peter said he would never deny the Lord, and yet before the rooster crowed, he denied the Lord. How many times? Three. Huh. I get the concept that Peter is the man of three, right? In fact, he's going to deal with this concept three times. The first time he deals with this concept is in Matthew 15. Jesus says to him this, "It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth." In other words, hey, Peter, you guys, you got it wrong. It's not that you ate the pork. It's that you speak profanities. It's not that you eat bacon. It's that you are unforgiving and unloving. It's not that you eat the eel, it's that you love to speak gossip and backbite. And so in Matthew 15, Jesus tells Peter, hey, it's not what you eat, it's what you speak. It's what comes out of the abundance of your heart. Then here we have the thing that comes down three times, but that's the second time that God is dealing with him. And guess what? Even though he's going to kind of get it, he's going to, in Galatians chapter 2, Paul has to confront Peter. Why? Because Peter was eating everything he wanted. He's sitting there eating a BLT, and here comes some guys from Jerusalem, some Judaizers, and they start putting a guilt trip on Peter. Oh, you're eating bacon? Oh, man. And so he starts to feel like, oh, I need to get under the law. I'm a Jew. So he starts going back to the strict dietary laws. He even begins to pull Barnabas with him. He starts to convince Barnabas to do the same thing. And Paul says, stop it. Why are you going to put people under that bondage? So he goes, he gives them both barrels. And they kind of have a feud and a falling out. Now, I thought about this. If Peter were going to have a jersey, it would have a 03 on it. But then I agree, that's kind of interesting. But what number would you have? How many times have you said, no, Lord? You know, I think about, man, how many times. My jersey wouldn't be big enough to hold enough numbers. Thank you. Thanks. Joey goes, yeah, yours will have an infinity sign. That's awesome. And yet you listen to me teach. That's amazing. So goes the shepherd, so go the sheep. No. Hey, we're on the same team. That's right. Okay. Listen, you know what? We should have a number one. We should have first time obedience. When God asks us something, we should be like Cornelius. Remember Cornelius said, what is it, Lord? What do you need? Whatever it is. I'm a man under authority with some authority, but I'm under authority first. I like this. The most fitting response to undeserved blessing is unreserved obedience. Listen, that is so true. Has God blessed you? Listen, and are the blessings that God has poured out on you, are they undeserved? They absolutely are. Well, then our obedience should be unreserved for the undeserved blessings. Listen, Peter has a bad habit of telling Jesus no. He loves to tell the Lord no. I don't know why. Remember, Jesus said, hey, you know, the Son of Man must go and suffer, you know, at the hands. In other words, I'm going to die. And he says, no, you're not. You're not going to suffer on my watch. And Jesus says to him, you know what? Get behind me, Satan. Or how about this? Jesus is going to wash the feet of the disciples. And Peter goes, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus goes, well, then if I don't wash your feet, you're going to have no part of me. He's like, okay, then wash all of me. He just wants to be in control. He wants things his way. He doesn't figure it out. And I bet if he had gone to the other disciples and said, you know, guys, Jesus wants to go and die. I don't think it's a good idea. I bet they go, yeah, Peter, you're right, man. Hey, you know what? He wants to wash our feet. He shouldn't wash our feet. Right, dude. Don't wash our feet. I bet they'd agree with him. You make sense, Peter. Dude, you are so wise in the way of the world, Peter. Yeah, he is. The way of the world says no, Lord. The way of the wise say yes, Lord. Always. Listen. Listen to God over people. The only time you should listen to people, if the people that are talking to you are giving you God's word, rightly dividing God's word and holding that as the standard. So God, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. I like the way Guzik explains this, the cleansed and the common term, because it loses something in translation. Guzik says this, in the Old Testament thinking, there was holy and the common. The holy was made common when it came into contact with something common. And it could only be made holy again through ritual cleansing. When something was made holy, it was called consecrated. When it was made common, it was called desecrated. It was dirty. It was bad. Now, God is saying, listen, Peter, I'm telling you to eat. Remember, I told you, nothing that you put in your mouth defiles you. It's what comes out. And saying no, Lord, is defiling you. And you're worried about having some bacon. Now, remember, Peter is a three-timer. This is only the second time God is dealing with him with this. And guess what? Because it's only the second time, he still doesn't get it. He's going to kind of get it, but you'll see what I'm talking about. Let's look at the objective in verse 17 through 23. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, so he sees his vision three times, comes down, he doesn't kill, he doesn't obey God, and now it goes up into the sky and goes, well, that's peculiar. That don't happen every day. I wonder what that meant. Listen, you know, I see Peter and I think, God, there's hope for me. How awesome is that? I feel the same. Okay, so Peter wondering within himself, what this vision. Now, here's the thing. You know what we do? We read this and we go, oh, Peter, listen, put yourself in his position, right? Here this thing is telling him to break tradition. For a lot of you, tradition is more powerful than truth. I get people who come here and they're like, well, Pastor, I know y'all do it this way, but I've always done it that way. And I'm like, yeah, but let me show you in Scripture why we do it this way. Yeah, but it's been tradition in my family. People won't let go of tradition. And we'll talk anyways. So he says, he's like, what does this vision mean? The men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So here he's going, what? And they're coming in. These men are coming in. These men have made it their objective. They made it their objective to obey. Peter didn't realize that this was all a part of God's vision. He's not going to realize it at first. Peter has been used by God mightily. Do you realize that? But though he's been used by God mightily, he's still not humble. This is why, by the way, I believe this is why he doesn't understand the vision. Because he's not humble. He's still fighting it. He lacks understanding. Do you understand that there are many facets to God's grace? One of the facets of God's grace is that he gives you understanding when you humble yourself. That's one of the facets. That's why it says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with something in your life and you're going, I don't know how to get through that. I don't know what you're doing, God. And God's going, I will tell you when you humble yourself. But you're too busy doing your way and doing your thing, leaning on your own understanding, not acknowledging me. If you would just humble yourself, I will tell you how to get out and what's going to happen and give you some direction. Thus, the difference between Cornelius and Peter. Cornelius, a man with authority, but he realizes he's humble and under authority. His response, what is it, Lord? What can I do for you, Lord? I like that. Then Peter, no authority. He's staying at a tanner's house. He's a fisherman. Yet he's full of pride and says, not so, Lord. Listen, you can be someone and say, well, I don't have any authority. I don't have any power. But you can still be so prideful. Listen, there are homeless people that are prideful. We've had before at Fruits of Harvest someone who was homeless and we wanted to bless them. And they're coming in. They're like, oh, I don't like that. And I don't like that. That's all you're going to give me? And it's like, you know what? We were like, you can go. So much pride. So don't think you don't have pride. If you're not hearing from the Lord, it may be because you have too much pride. Verse 18. And they called and they asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, what was it about? Notice he's still thinking about it. The Holy Spirit wants us to know. He's still thinking about it. I showed him three times. It came down three times and he's going, what was that? While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, hey, stupid. No, it didn't say that. The Spirit said to him, behold, three men. Can you count to three, Peter? Three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go to them. Watch this. Doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Go down and go with them. Go down, meet them, and then wherever they're going, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now, the Holy Spirit, I hope you catch this. Listen, don't just read over this, because we do that. We go, okay, it's a story. No, the Holy Spirit's been really active. The Holy Spirit is speaking to Peter right now, and that's a huge deal. Let me ask you this. How many of you, not that, you know, you read the word and you felt like God was, how many of you have heard the audible voice of the Holy Spirit this morning? Good, thank you. If someone raised their hand, I was going to, you know, okay. How about this week? Anybody hear the audible voice? This month, this year. No, understand, this is big to do. This is major. First of all, in chapter 3, Cornelius has an angel in a vision come to him. Then in verse 13, the voice of God is speaking to him saying, rise, kill and eat, audible with this sheet-like thing. Then verse 15, a voice spoke to him again a second time. And then you get down to verse 44, which we'll see next week. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. So all of this, the Holy Spirit is doing something. Now here, remember I told you to hang on your belt the why and why not? I hope you're asking yourselves these questions. And you're like, why? I'm not going to tell you yet. Very good. You are quick. Hang on to that thought. I'm going to unfold it in a minute, but notice this. The Holy Spirit tells him, doubting nothing. Why? Basically, the Holy Spirit is saying this. Peter, don't be Peter. Don't doubt. Just go with them. Don't go, why are we going over there? You just go with them. Verse 21. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? Okay, it's fair. He can ask. He can ask. But can you imagine the scene? Let's look at the scene. First of all, what would Peter be thinking right now, right? First of all, Jehovah God just told him, I sent some men to you. He hasn't seen the men. He doesn't know who they are. So he goes, he opens the door. He's probably thinking, okay, God's sending some Jewish brothers, you know, strong in the faith, and he's got a mission from God. And he goes and he opens the door. And there's two Gentiles and a Roman soldier there. Uh-oh. Listen, remember this. Remember that Christians are being killed at this time. And here comes two guys and a Roman soldier. That would be like you being in a crack house where the crack house dealer is now saved. And you're there and you open the door and there's two guys there and a cop. And they want to take you to meet the chief of police. And they're not Jews. He's probably thinking, wait, if God's going to send me, Jehovah God's going to send me, he's going to send me some Jews. I'm staying in a tanner's house, unclean, and now he wants me to go with some Gentiles who are unclean. I wonder if Peter's going, you know, I knew something was up when the Holy Spirit had to tell me don't doubt anything. I wonder if he opened the door and Peter thought, oh, no, Lord. Now, let's be fair. Let's think about, what about the servants and the centurion, right? They don't know who this Peter is. They know the rules about being in a tanner's house, that a Jew wouldn't be there. So here is their Roman centurion, Gentile, who says that God of the Jews spoke to him and told him to go to a tanner's house where no Jew would be hanging out to get a guy to come and give a message. So they're probably thinking, well, it's going to be a Gentile brother like us. And they open the door, and it's a Jew with big hairy eyebrows. He did. This is Peter, not Paul. Never mind. Forget it. It's a big dude, burly, big burly dude, strong dude. I'm sorry, I was thinking Paul for a moment. He's a Jew in a tanner's house. I wonder if they're thinking, what's a nice Jew like you doing in a place like this? I mean, he's in the wrong place. But what a mean, you know how awkward that meeting had to be? Are you sure God wants us to get this guy? God, are you sure you want me to go with those guys? It had to be awkward. Verse 22. But notice, I love, they're on a mission, so they say it. Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews. Hey, your brothers, your Jewish brothers like him. He's not one of the bad Roman guards. He's one that you will like. You can trust him. You can trust us. Has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summons you to his house, look at this, to hear words from you. What did they do? Excuse me. What did they do? They just told him the Holy Spirit, or excuse me, an angel came to Cornelius to get you so that you could come back to his house to do what? To hear words from you. In other words, God wants you to speak to Cornelius' house. Is that pretty clear? Right? That's pretty clear. So the servants tell Peter, they give him the lowdown. Okay, got it, Peter?
Yuppers, got it.
Okay, watch, verse 23. Then he invited them to lodge, and invited them in and lodged them. And on the next day, Peter went away with them. Good boy, Peter. Yay. He can learn. And look at this. Some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. The brethren are going, whoa, this is crazy. This is the weirdest scene. He's got this, blanket of pigs in the blanket coming down. We got, these Gentiles coming from a vision. And then Peter's going to go with them. And Peter's in a tanner's house. This is better than a soap opera. I want to see how this plays out. So they accompanied him. So here's the thing. So here they come. They tell him, Peter, Cornelius wants you. The angel's calling you. You're going to come to his house. You're going to speak. So he had all night to think about it. Then he's got a 30-mile hike to think about what he's supposed to do when he gets there and what God wants from him. And he kind of gets it. Sort of. Watch. Let's look at the obedient in verse 24 through 33. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now, Cornelius, I love this guy, Cornelius, was waiting for them and had called together his relative and close friends. What a guy. God says, hey, I've got a message for you, but we're going to get a guy from the tanner. He's going to come. He's going to speak, and it's for you. And he goes, no, it's not for me only. It's going to be for my whole family, for my friends, for my neighborhood. Everyone I can get to come to my house to hear a message from God, they need to hear it. I love that. I love that. I love when people are concerned about the ones they love, that they would hear the word of God. I love when members of HBC bring and invite people to come to church. You're like a Cornelius. You know what we should say to each other when we bring friends? Say, hey, you're corny. Not your jokes, but you're like Cornelius. You're so corny. Oh, thanks. I'm not going to joke around with you anymore. No, not your jokes. You're like Cornelius. Listen, we need to have a heart like that. There's no greater feeling for a pastor when I go to someone's house, they want me to share the gospel, and they've invited people. So it's like, hey, we want them all to hear what you have to say. And it's even more exciting when the people are excited and waiting for me to get there to share with them. They've got questions. I dig that stuff. I love it. But I love Cornelius' heart. He's a humble guy. He's all about obedience, and he wants to get other people to hear what God has to say. Wow. What a guy. What an awesome. No wonder God loves him. No wonder God is impressed with these centurions. They've got the right heart. Authority under power. Authority with humility. Humble authority. Verse 25. As Peter was coming in, look at Cornelius. Look at this. Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. Now, first thing, Cornelius, he's an officer. Secondly, the guy who's coming, he's never met him before, and he knows he was at a tanner's house. And he drops. As far as he's concerned, he's bringing the message of God. He must be something special. But I look at this and I say, wow, I guess the Catholics were right. Peter is the first pope. Right? Because after this, doesn't he like sit down at a throne? He puts on a white robe and he puts on a big silly hat. I mean, a big cool hat. Right? Then he rides around in the Pope mobile waving at people. Doesn't Peter do that? Right? He was the first pope. Well, look at verse 26. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up. I myself am also a man. He doesn't say, call me Holy Father. He doesn't say, venerate me and Mary, by the way. No, he lifts him up. Whoa. Don't worship me, bro. Chill. I was at a tanner's house. I don't even get why I'm here. Don't worship me. But look. Okay, remember this. So I like Peter's got that part right. It was a long walk. Okay, wait. Maybe Peter is the first pope. He just had this long walk, and now Peter is too pooped to pope? I don't know. But he's not poping. He wants none of that pope stuff at this point. Verse 27. And here you go. Watch. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. I bet he walks in. He thought it was just going to be Cornelius. He gets there, and there's a house packed with people going, is this a guy? This is the one from God? Wow. Should we worship him? What do we do with this guy? These are people who are eager to hear the word of the Lord. People who are eager to hear the gospel. By the way, what's the gospel? The good news. What's the good news? That Christ lived a sinless life. That he was the sinless sacrifice to pay for my sins on the death of the cross. For your sins on the death of the cross. That he was resurrected from the grave, which then fulfills a promise and that we will be forgiven and giving us a hope of a future eternally with God. That's some good news. And you're going to see, because all these people came together to hear the good news, the Holy Spirit's going to do something amazing. But let's continue here with what we can cover today. Verse 28. Look. Then he said to them, oh, you go, Peter. You go, boy. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. Hey guys, you know, you've been around enough Jews. This is a Jewish region. You know that we're not supposed to associate. You're unclean. I'm consecrated. I'm set apart. I'm holy for God. But you're unclean. You know, I'm not supposed to associate with you. You guys know that. He goes this, but God has shown me, by a pig in the blanket, God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. He goes, I get it. I understand what the pigs in the blanket's all about. It's about you guys. You guys are the pigs. Oh, no. Well, that's basically what he's saying. He says, I understand. God was telling me that those animals are not unclean. You guys aren't unclean. We thought about you guys as animals. In fact, the Jews looked at Gentiles as if they were pigs. They're unclean. Oh, Jews. It was bad. A Jew couldn't hang out with you guys. You know that. But I'm here Because God has shown me that you guys aren't unclean. It's not what goes in a man's mouth, it's what comes out of a man's mouth. We were wrong. That's not God's heart. God isn't prejudiced. It's man who is prejudiced. God is about love. He is. Peter is discovering God's love. I love this. Only a new love can destroy an old prejudice. I love that. Folks, in God's economy, maybe there's someone who is a different nationality than you. Maybe someone with a different economic background than you. Maybe someone who has a different favorite sports team than you. Or perhaps a different political bent than you. Listen, I don't agree with some other people's political bent, but that doesn't mean I hate them. I still love them, and I wish that they would get things right and become Republicans. If you disagree, we can talk in private. But he says, guys, I'm here. I'm getting this now. I'm understanding. I'm learned it more better. That's what he's saying here. I learned it more better. But I need to ask you a question. Watch. Therefore, watch. He does. Watch. Therefore, look. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Well, that's because the Holy Spirit said, hey, don't doubt, Peter, just go. So he's like, okay, I came without objection, outwardly. I ask, then, for what reason have you sent for me? What did the servants tell him? Cornelius sent for us because God told them through an angel that you had a message, that you were going to come and speak. So Cornelius gets all the family together, and now he comes in and he says, okay, so why am I here? Wow. Why am I here? The servants told him already. He had time. He should have been up all night thinking, Lord, what do you want me to say to the Gentiles? How can I reach them? You obviously want me to go speak with them. On the way walking, he should have been mowing over what God wanted him to say. And he gets there and he's like, you're not unclean, you pigs. Now, what do you want from me? Peter is slow. So am I. And there's hope. Peter's not a one-timer. Remember, he's a three-timer. He needs time to learn. Verse 30. Watch this. Round two. If in case, Peter, you didn't get it the first time, let me tell you. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And in the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothes, meaning an angel shining brightly. Okay. A man stood before me in bright clothes and said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa to call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately. I obeyed the Lord, unlike you. I didn't say no, Lord, like you. He didn't say that, but I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Good boy. Good boy. You want a treat? You've done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Now, we went and got you. We obeyed. Now, you need to do your thing. Dance, monkey. God said to get you. We went and got you. And now you're asking why you're here? Open your cake hole and speak, man. Be obedient. Be obedient. Now, here we go. Remember what I had you hang on your belt? the why and the why not, hopefully you see what I see. Do you see what I see? Okay. Why such an elaborate plan? God sent an angel in the beginning to Cornelius. Powerful. Cornelius drops. He's like, what, Lord? What do you want? He could have just said, well, Jesus Christ died for your sins. Why don't you tell your family? Get them all here. I'm here, an angel. I came from another dimension. I came from the heavenly realm. I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. Why send people to Joppa, to the tanner's house? Peter going, woo, and getting him down there. He doesn't know what to say. Why this elaborate scheme? Why? Why not just let the angel tell him the whole story from the beginning? Because God likes to involve us in his glorious work. If we will say, yes, Lord. If we will say, yes, Lord, he'll let us be involved in the magnificent scheme that he has. How amazing is that? Listen, although God created man, without man's involvement, God will not save man without his consent and his obedience. Do you realize that? Sometimes God usually, or should I say, God usually brings salvation through, or God always brings salvation through the cross of Christ, and usually through our witness of the cross of Christ and our changed life. Now, why doesn't God use angels? Well, first of all, remember the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Go ye therefore. First he says, all power is given me in heaven and earth. In heaven and in earth. But between heaven and earth, I chose you, human beings, to spread the gospel, not the heavenly realm. In fact, the Bible tells us that angels desire to look into the things of God. But he has given us humble authority. You know what you have? This week, God has been laying upon my heart that you know what you and I have? You know what kind of authority we have? We have the keys to the kingdom. You don't have the keys to the White House. You can't just go to the White House at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, yeah, we just want to kick back in the Oval Office and watch some reruns of The Office. You can't do that. But you and I have the keys to the heavenly kingdom, and we can unlock that and allow anyone to go in and meet Jesus if you and I would just be obedient. We have that authority. But so many of us squander it by saying, no, Lord. Huh. You know, St. Francis of Assisi, he says, always witness and sometimes use words. In other words, what he's saying is be a witness with your life. That's a great saying, and there's some truth to it. But I also want you to know that I don't completely agree with that. Why? Well, because Romans 10, 14 through 17 says this. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not, what? Heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Listen, yes, let your life be the gospel lived out, but let your words be the gospel spoken. So important. So I agree to a point with St. Francis of Assisi, but I always say this, never put too much stake in a guy with sissy in his name. Okay? I just won't do it. Or how about this? Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The New Living Translation puts it this way. How terrible for me if I did not preach the good news. That's so true. So true. And so Peter says, what am I here, guys? What do you want from me? And they said, we want you to open your cake hole. Verse 34. Let's just read 34 real quick and we'll close on 34.
Then Peter opened his kirkhole.
No, I mean opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. In other words, he got it. He got the blanket part for a point, for a time. That God wants the gospel to go to the Gentiles. God said you would go to Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth. And now that is beginning to happen through the persecution. And now Peter has been summoned to come to Cornelius, and the gospel and revival is going to break out amongst the Gentiles. See, in Acts chapter 2, is the gospel broke out mainly amongst the Jews. Now it's going to break out amongst the Gentiles, and God's word will be fulfilled. But it's so important that Peter must humble himself and recognize that he's been given some authority, but that is not the authority to say, no, Lord. Not at all. And by the way, side note, real quick, one more thing. Remember the why and why not? Why didn't God just use an angel to give the gospel? Because God doesn't commission angels to do that. So when someone says, an angel told me about the gospel, you tell them, no, he didn't. That's a lie. But let me ask you this morning. Are you saved? Do you? No. Not do you come to church and you come to HBC, the coolest church around. Not because of that. I'm just joking. Not because you come to HBC or because you carry a Bible or because you pray or you're benevolent or you. None of those things save you. Do you have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you met him? Have you come in contact with him? Has he begun to change your life to where you're a new creature in Christ? Are you continuing to grow? Are you obedient? Yes, Lord. Or do you say, oh, no, not today, Lord. Maybe next week. Maybe next year. Maybe another time. Listen, any other answer than yes, Lord, it means there's something wrong. And so let me encourage you today, as the worship team comes up, that you need to examine your heart. You need to ask yourself, am I religious? Am I going through the motions? Or do I have an intimate relationship? Or maybe you're not saved. Why in the world would you want to leave without the hope, without the promise of having your sins forgiven and having a life eternal with God? Why? And so the worship team is going to sing. We're going to sing. And I want to give you an opportunity, if you've never accepted Christ, to come forward. Or if you're not sure, you need to make your calling and election sure today. Or maybe you've been saying no, Lord. Maybe you begin to say yes, Lord, by coming forward. So let's all stand. Father, I'm just praying right now by your Spirit that you'd move upon the hearts of my brothers and sisters here this morning, and that those who need to come forward, whether it's to surrender their heart to you for the first time, whether it's to make sure that they're calling election sure, or maybe they've been self-deceived. Lord, I know this. It takes a humble person to come humbly before a living God and to admit our need and our shortcomings. And so, Father, this morning I pray that no one move around, no stirring, that everyone realize that this is a moment for the Holy Spirit to speak. And Lord, I pray that you, only you, Holy Spirit, can move upon a heart to come forward. But Lord, that you would call them by name and they would respond, yes, Lord, and they would come forward. And this would be the beginning of obedience before you, a beginning of surrender to you, a beginning of freedom, the freedom that can only come when you set us free from the burden of our sin and to new life. And so while they sing this part, if you want to come forward, you come forward. Go ahead. You know, being honest, putting pride aside is one of the hardest things for us to do as humans. And I know in a group this size that there are those of you who are fighting right now the desire to come forward. Why fight the Lord? You know He's tugging on your heart to come forward and you're fighting it. Stop. Give in. It's the best thing to do. The Word of God says that in the church, there's a broad road and there are many on it, and that the road that leads to life is narrow and difficult and few that go thereby. There's not just a few people in here. Examine your heart. Do not leave here self-deceived. And do not leave here without surrendering to Christ today. Today is a day. Call on Him while He is near. So I'm going to sing one more time. Stop fighting. Come. Come. I know there's someone fighting. Come. He loves you. He wants to bless you. Let's sing. How beautiful to see those surrendering humbly. There's still time. It's not too late. We'll wait for you to come and surrender your heart to the Lord. He's calling. He won't yell at you. He just whispers your name and He says, come. Come forward. Come to Me. You who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Praise the Lord. Awesome. Hallelujah. It's beautiful. It's the most freeing thing. I've never had anyone come say, I surrender my heart to Jesus and I regret it. Not one. All I ever hear is, I wish I would have done it sooner. Today, God is calling you by name. You know who you are. Come forward. I'm going to give one more opportunity. Anyone else need to come forward? Lord, it is wonderful to see those who have come forward, who have surrendered, who want to surrender their lives deeper, who want to surrender their hearts, and perhaps a couple in here have surrendered their lives for the first time. Only You know. But we are rejoicing. It says in Your Word that all of heaven rejoices for one sinner. And so, Lord, here we are coming before You, surrendering. And, Lord, may heaven be rejoicing, because we are rejoicing with our brothers and sisters here up front. Father, I pray that You would meet each person where they are in their need, some to be saved for the first time, some to have their calling and election made sure, some who are just struggling and need answers and need to surrender to You. Whatever it is, Lord, we know You are the God of all comfort that can meet all our need. And it's all found in Christ Jesus, the one and only living Word, the one and only Savior of all mankind. The only one that could take all our sins and give us salvation, not by works, but by faith. Lord, we believe that. I believe everyone coming forward believes that. And so now, Lord, put Your hand upon them. May they sense Your presence, and may they have an intimate, beautiful, powerful, life-changing relationship with You from here on out, Lord. Father, we thank You. Holy Spirit, we need You. Lord Jesus, we adore You. And we ask all these things in the precious and beautiful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's children said, amen. Awesome. Hey, all y'all that can, isn't that beautiful?